Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for September 21st. Can I have the roll call, please?
Bennett?
Here.
Burt?
Here.
Hapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the August 17th minutes as submitted.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So again, welcome, everyone. This is probably the biggest crowd I've seen in a few years, so thanks for coming. At the appropriate time in the meeting, I will seek audience input, and there's a microphone to my right and to your left at the podium back there. And in order for it all to get picked up and caught on the record, we'd love to have you go back there and give us your input at that time. So right back where she's standing is where we will go. So we have a number of matters on the agenda tonight, so we'll try and keep it moving. We said to Lisa, if we don't get done by 7, we're ordering pizza, so we'll see how that goes. But with that, we will begin. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the first case that we have before us involves a land use amendment and a rezoning for this parcel here, which is Creekview Second Edition. It's lot number 2. As you can see, that there's an area here of floodplain, and within it there is floodway, which cannot be used by the petitioner for the proposed development. The area surrounding is of different land use categories and different zonings. This area right now is R3, but you do have R5. You do have R3 here, PR Overlay District 3, and then you have commercial C2, and then C1, or I should say C5. And there are a variety of different zonings. There's R1 here, you've got A1 here, and A2 here. So there's a number of different types of zonings within the region. This is the lot of record that is involved, essentially, this whole area right here. Petitioner has taken and revised what was initially, this is going to be R5, here has revised it, and this would be R3. What his intent is to lay out a number of these units here. We have these as being 50 units in each of these buildings and 30 here, and I believe there are 78 duplex units that are intended for the site, and there will be a separate entry with this type of drive, and this is the way this was designed back in, similar to it in 2006, you did have a branching off and two different access points, but they're not connected. The multifamily is down here, and then the R3 up here, which is single family attached, is there. This gives a representation of what the multifamily will look like and the types of stories here. We've got three-story structures. The area on the overhead, the doc cam shows the revised area. You'll note that now there's a more compact area further away from the residential where this R5 zoning is anticipated right here by the petitioner. So we've got this over here. This is R3 up here. He's withdrawn some of that area and made it more compact and more toward the busy intersection area down here on 53rd and Devil's Glen Road. Also, too, there was a condition that this body put in the report for the initial zoning of this property from A1 to R3, and I'll pull that diagram off of there, and I'll show you the note. The condition that was added is that the areas that are surrounding this particular site that are zoned A2 and R1 will have a 25-foot buffer around them. So what was placed around them was a separation of what you would find in C5 office transitional, is thought to be the most suitable distance for the buffer area, and that constitutes a 25-foot area around the perimeter. And as you go back, that means that you're going to have a 25-foot separation that will be contained on this lot here as a buffer area, and that's what will be a part of this development in the future. Staff in reviewing this proposal would support the petitioner's request for the land use amendment and the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Not a question at this point, but I did forget one item when we started off. If there's anyone in the audience with regard to the matter at Crow Creek Road and Middle, that agenda item was pulled from tonight's meeting, but unfortunately the signs out there had not been pulled. So if you're here with regard to input on that case will not be heard tonight. So I apologize for that, but it was pulled, and we were advised tonight that the signs were not removed, indicating there was a meeting tonight. So if you're here and here for that case, it will probably come back, Bill, I would assume, at some point, but it's not on the agenda for tonight as originally published. So if you need to get up and go, that would be a good time to do it. If not,
somebody,
you're welcome to
question.
Stay. Yeah, is there a question back there?
Will there be a sign posted again on that?
There should be, yep.
Right,
yep. Sorry about that. Okay, questions for the commission with regard to the case at hand?
Greg, you mentioned a distinction between a floodplain and a floodway. Can you show us, you can use this map, where the differences lie and how that impacts what happens on that land?
This area here would approximately be where the floodway is. That there can't be anything built in that area. There can be no fill placed in that area. What you'll have is a 100-year flood mark that is right there, and then where that floodway boundary is, the north boundary, this is the area where the fill will occur in that area with a type of permit that will allow this area to be filled so that these buildings might be placed out of the 100-year flood plain. They'll be elevated, the ground will be, and then that way these buildings can be constructed there, but they have to go through a permitting process to do that.
So would that be similar to what we saw on Kimberly Road, just by the Alpine Center?
Commercial, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The questions from the commission? No. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case that would like to provide input? Yes, sir. I need you to go back to the podium if there would, state your name, and then go ahead and give us your input, please.
My name is Gene Sager. I live in Blackland Circle, which is right across the street from this development. A couple of things I notice is the entryway into those, I guess, duplexes is directly opposed to the entryway to Blackland Circle, which is right across the street. There is a hill there with limited visibility. People coming from the north go over that hill, and I tell you, they're going about 65 miles an hour, most of them. It is a real problem for us that live in that circle, because you can go and start your turn onto Devil's Glen, and they come right up on your, you know, tail. And that's one concern I might have. The other would be, are they going to berm around this? Are they going to berm on Devil's Glen so that there is a kind of a boundary? Some of the other developments to the north did berm, and it's attractive, and it also creates barriers for both the residents and the new development, and for people, well, across the street, I guess. So those were just some concerns that I had, and looking at that right off the bat. Who is the developer?
Bill Tissot, I believe, is the petitioner and developer.
Petitioner, I don't know if he's here or not.
He's here.
He's informed about the meeting.
In the audience.
I see him.
He's there.
Kevin.
Kevin's the petitioner, but not the builder.
He's the, okay, petitioner. All right. So did you want to address the berm issue then?
Well,
and Bill, you could maybe address the road, yeah. Brian?
Well, it's more of an engineering question, but I can't answer it. We try to have opposing streets across from arterials, right across from each other. If you offset them, then you have turning movement problems. Second thing, we always encourage, and I think most of the developers are willing to put some sort of berm or separation between their development and an arterial street like Devil's Glen Road is. So that'll be ultimate a site development plan issue that we look at when the developer comes back at that phase of the project.
Although that is pretty low relative to the road down there, so the berm, and Kevin, I think you're back there, so can address that. That would be a lot of dirt to put in there to make it a functional berm. Okay, thank you, Gene. Anyone else with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Steve Wilger. I live in lot two of the three conditions, which is up in the very top part of the map. Several issues stand out to us, and that is with that 25-foot buffer zone, and from what I understand for R3, the existing zone, the backyards have to have a minimum of 25 foot to the building. If this map is anything close to scale, the backyard would have to be close to the front of the buildings on the very west edge of the property. So it certainly appears that with that 50 foot from the existing property lines to the back of the buildings, there isn't enough space for the number of units that are planned. The size of the units don't match the scale that is on the map, because if you look at the scale and the size of the buildings that are on it, you would only have about a 30 foot wide structure on each side of the duplex. So my concern is that what they're wanting to build isn't going to match what the zoning code is. With that many buildings, I believe, doesn't the code require two entrances to the addition? I know 10 years ago when Jeff O'Rourke looked at having the land rezoned and we as homeowners agreed to the rezoning, his plan called for a U-shaped entrance, so there was two entrance and exits to the development up on the north side, and he actually had green space down in the floodplain. I know I have personally seen in the 10 years I've lived at my residence at 3213 Fieldsike, I have seen the water halfway up to the division point of that parcel as it sits today. I believe there are other residents here that have seen it up even higher than that back in 97 when we had the I don't know if you want to call it the 500-year flood or whatever that one was. But it certainly appears that what we're looking at isn't buildable to the specifications that are set on the property at this point. The apartment complex down below, we already have a very large apartment complex kitty corner to that on 53rd, just east of Devil's Glen. We've got a very large complex right off of Thunder Ridge, which is the fountains. I don't know what we want to build as a city to have that large of a density dwellings in that small of a space, but that apartment complex is going to light us up even more than Crow Creek Park does now at night. So that is drastically going to change the footprint of our community, even with the 25-foot buffer zone. The condos, what'll fit, as long as they fit the code that you've got, that isn't an issue to me. The issue is the high-density rezoning and how much of it they're actually trying to rezone beyond what the scope of this picture is alarms me. I mean, up until today, I had a picture that showed the high-density zoning going all the way up and almost to the upper left-hand corner of that development. If that's what they planned, my concern is that we rezone that property and something else gets built. It got rezoned 10 years ago, and the development that was going to go in didn't go in, but the rezoning stayed. If we rezone that to R5 again, who says this gets built and we don't have a hospital or a medical building there in a few years? Because that's part of that rezoning opportunity. So I certainly don't feel that a multi-unit apartment complex is certainly in the city's best interest, and it looks a little bit more like spot zoning to me, that this might benefit the developer, but I don't think it benefits the community.
Okay, thank you, Steve, for the input. There's a number of things you raised, and the 25-foot buffer, Greg or Bill, is that a separate distance over the setback, or can you have the setback be part of the buffer?
It can be. Structures need to be buffered 25 foot. And keep in mind, you know, talking about this to scale, this is a concept plan.
We've
got a site development plan that we have to look at as this comes forward.
Maybe you can clarify that for Steve.
Yeah, can we just make that a little clearer? Steve, does that address the one question you had about the 25 foot? Because what I'm understanding is, based on the response, the 25 feet is also can overlap. The buffer can be the setback.
When we as the residents of the boundary existing homes agreed to the R3 rezoning 10 years ago, what was supposed to be platted but hadn't been yet is that there was supposed to be a 25-foot buffer zone, a minimum 3-foot berm, and evergreen trees along all the existing residence property lines. That would be separate from the 25-foot of backyard that our zoning, our code requires from the building to the end of their property. A 25-foot separation zone shouldn't be included in the end of that property. Correct, Bill?
We just require that no structures be built within that buffer zone.
So it can be...
It can be part of the lot, yes,
It can be part of the lot. So you meet the development requirements of the city if you're 25 feet back for the setback, and that buffer can be that 25 feet.
It could be part or all of it. No structures can be constructed.
In that 25 feet.
So you would construct duplexes with no backyard?
With a 25-foot backyard.
It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm just a property owner here in town that pays taxes, so I don't know.
Steve, let me clarify one other thing for you, just as far as the process and how the process works.
Yes, ma'am.
Tonight, we're looking at the land use and the rezoning.
Okay.
We're not looking at the site development plan.
Okay.
So a lot of the issues that you're talking about are things that will be considered at a later date.
Okay.
And so we can talk about how we feel about them.
Right.
That's not... as a commission, what we would be voting on tonight. We're voting on the land use and the rezoning.
Right, but up until I came today, the zone request was to change a very large portion of that to R5,
mm-hmm.
which didn't coincide with what they're planning to build. My concern is always a development plan can change once you get the zoning passed.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see isn't what we get.
I understand. Okay?
I have a question. Does the city, right now, that's a two-lane road in that area going up Devil's Glen, is it not?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's correct.
Does the city have a plan to widen that to four lanes then? Because I do have a concern about taking this to R5, which is with the number of apartment units and then the impact that's going to have on the traffic in that area.
I'm pretty certain that the city does have the right of way there to widen that and at a future date, yes, as development would occur.
Okay. Others regarding this case? Do you have more, Jeff? Are there others in the audience? Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Toom. I'm got three lots on Field Psych Drive, one home on the in the middle. And my concern is with this property, you know, I've stuck thousands of dollars into the interior and exterior of this property. And with this stuff going up right on the edge of my property on the backside, I feel it's going to hurt the, my property values as well as the people in that area. And I don't think this thing deserves a vote that that we need to rezone it. You know, people put a lot of their hard-earned money into their properties, and this stuff like this happens, it doesn't seem fair. About well, maybe 3-4 years ago, on Field Site, they went down and put in a paving on that street, and when they did that, they dug out a big culvert and changed the water flow in, across the road to my onto my property. And now, just because of that one instance, every time I get an inch of rain or more, it floods it all down. The whole area is flooded. And if they go in there and build this and put these berms up and all the other stuff, where's the water going to go? It's going to be backed up again. So I just wanted to say my piece.
Thank you, Mike. Brian, any comment relative to water flow and things? Again, that would be more particular on the site plan part of it, but as it gets developed. But
I mean, concept, we would certainly look into that, and they would have to meet detention requirements like anybody else for site development plan.
Okay. Yes, sir.
My name is Harold Wyatt. I'm the last one of the original seven that built on Field Psych. And my question is, again, the water flow. I don't know where they got the 100-year line for the flood plain, but I can remember in the 90s where they set that, that water was all the way up to Field Psych. It had shut Devil's Glen down. So I don't know where, who come up with the line for this 100-year flood line, but it's way too far south. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you. That comes from the Army Corps, doesn't it?
Well, that would come from the FEMA flood map.
FEMA flood map, okay.
And I guess just one additional comment to the last gentleman's concern. We would require detention, but I believe the topography of that land, everything flows from north to south, so that wouldn't, I think he's north of there, up near Field Psych, if I remember correctly. I don't think that would have an impact as far as flowing through his property in particular.
It's high in the north and low in the south. Right, south, correct. Yeah. Yep. Anyone else in the audience with, yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Mark Lewis. I own all of the property to the west of this development. I live on 3013 Field Psych Drive. There's several concerns. One of them I understand will be addressed later on if they do a developmental plan, because the site plan here or proposed, whatever, obviously is awful close to my property. My my biggest concern, I see a retention pond, proposed retention pond, in a low-lying area. If you've been down here and watched the water flow, there is no retention pond that's going to do that whole area service. There is no such thing that's going to hold that water. Where the apartments are actually being proposed to build, I understand, and looking at it, I've got a copy of the, with a picture showing the actual worst water that we've had in 30 years. So you're talking about those buildings, and I understand looking at what they're going to build. I got a copy of that, too. They're going to put garages on the first floor so that they're out of the water. Where's that water going to go? Because that retention pond's not going to do anything but fill up. When that whole valley floods, it floods. I don't know the name of the gentleman that lives next to me in Dr. Ahmed's old house. I shouldn't say old house, that 7,000 square foot monstrosity, but if anybody's seen and been up there when we get any rain, I'm not talking about a flood, I'm talking about just a rain, that water, I've watched it go up against his house. You build that dirt up and put those apartments there, that water's going somewhere. It's going to go somewhere. And if you look at from where those apartments are in that retention pond all the way back to Fieldsike, that is a, including part of my property and all of my neighbor's property, it is a low-lying area. Now, he's been real lucky, you know, as far as that water flow, but it's going to go somewhere. I just want everybody to remember that if we pass that. That's all I got.
Thank you, Mark.
As we kind of stated before, there's a permitting process to raise that out of the floodplain. As far as the detention goes, they will be required to raise that pond above the floodplain level and provide detention above that elevation. So in essence, they do have to provide that storage, but that pond has to be raised out of the 100-year flood elevation. So they do have to provide storage that way. So they're going to have to raise their site. There's going to be a lot of fill required the way that it looks. So.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Henry Stauffenberg. I'm at 3275 Fieldsike Drive. With regard to that retention pond, we have a retention pond right across the street, just north of our property, that's been there and has never filled. It has grown weeds 4 feet high. It has a mud hole where insects collect and cause problems, and they don't even solve the problem that my neighbor has with the flooding. So what makes us think that building a retention pond down there is going to do any value to what you're proposing here? My second point is that having apartment complexes right behind residential areas just doesn't make sense to me. North of our property, they said that they were going to have larger lots, so they'd be commensurate with the area, the homes around the area. When the builders came on board, they stacked them all up again. So I'm with my neighbor Steve, is that if we rezone this, we don't know what we're going to get. And I'm really concerned that it's going to change the demographics of our community. That's all I have to say.
Henry, quick question. You said they said, who was they that said there would be big houses there?
This was the developer that went north of us, right across the street from us.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else with regard to this case?
I'm terribly sorry. I did have one more question.
Sure.
And maybe everybody here knows this answer, and I'm the only one that doesn't. Looking at what came off of the city website, I'm still a little confused of the zoning, because am I correct? The duplex stuff, it's already zoned R3, right? It was rezoned 12 years ago.
The entire parcel is R3.
Correct.
That's correct.
And what they're looking to do is they want to change the zoning to R5 so that those apartments can go in where they're talking about, correct?
Or a portion of the property.
My thing here shows that they're trying to rezone the majority of this parcel to R5.
They have submitted a new legal description, a new exhibit, which is on the board right now. So that's actually what the Planning and Zoning Commission is considering tonight, Mr. Lewis.
Okay. So look at, just throwing it out there. So looking at that R5 line, that really goes up well into their duplex development, correct?
It looks like it encroaches somewhat into that, yes.
I guess my question is, I'm not for it anyway, but if the city in their wisdom was going to allow a project like this, why would we leave an open door for a larger parcel than really what they're talking about. Why? I mean, I'm not for rezoning it to R5, but if you're going to rezone it to R5, should we not require them to rezone the parcel that what they're trying to sell all of us in the city on what they're going to do?
I would agree.
Do we have any feedback from the developer on, or petitioner on the direction there?
My name is Kevin Kellner, and I'm with Build to Suit. We're the petitioner. We're sort of working with the land seller and the land buyer, the buyer being the developer. The rezoning request for this area that we did change it to does go north into the area of the condos. The developer's plans right now would be to do the condos that we shown in the concept plan, understanding we got to address the buffer yard. I mean, and we've got to, again, at site plan, will everything will conform. We have to. In terms of the north boundary of this going into that condo development, the developer did want to leave some extra room in case they did and the market demand was there for more apartments. So there's no, they asked me to state that tonight. There's no, I don't want it to be cloak and dagger. They don't want it to be cloak and dagger in that they're asking for the additional area. The plan isn't to do that right now. If those buildings were built and they filled up right away and the demand was there, they may go ahead and expand the apartments into that area. They want to be totally upfront about that. The change to what you see here from what was submitted in the packet was to keep the R3 around the boundary, around all of the neighbors that are here, so that there would be nothing, you know, there would be a buffer area, if you want to call it that, of the R3 that's already allowed there now, and they're protected from the R5 that we're requesting.
Kevin, I have a question. With the diagram that you have on the screen right now, is there sufficient R3 to build a concept as we saw it in the plan tonight with a separate street?
Yeah, I think one of the points about the visibility coming down, it would be up to engineering. I mean, if we shift the driveway down, which I think we could do, it wouldn't line up with the other. I mean, we'll work however we have to work to keep it.
Let me
safe.
Ask my question a different way.
I think what you're asking is in the R3 right there, do the condos lay out that way?
Right. So right now, there's separate streets or separate access for each zoning area.
Right.
But if there's not enough room in the R3, then are we looking at something with shared streets or something that doesn't fit the concept that we're seeing tonight?
Well, again, we can build the R3 and the R5, so we would encroach into the R5, you know, with the condos to make sure that it fits and it works right. I can build R3 and R5. I can't build
right.
R5 and R3.
Right.
Right.
So part of this is to provide flexibility.
Right.
But it also
provides the R3 as the buffer for the neighbors.
Right. And just to piggyback on that question, Greg, the prior site plan, or maybe it wasn't site plan, it was just zoning.
Duplex, yeah.
Okay, but it was all R3.
Mm-hmm.
So from a neighborhood perspective, that's been zoned for R3 for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay, none of that is new to the neighborhood.
R3 is not.
Okay, it's the R5 that's the new. Okay.
Right.
Having this map helps spell it out a little more clearly.
And just to, for clarity and for everybody's perspective, the difference between the R3 and R5 and what could be built.
In R3, you're basically looking at two-family and single-family housing. And R5, you're looking at multifamily structures that essentially, you know, you could put that in there. I think there might be, with the special use permit, there might be like a hospital or something like that that could maybe go in there. But typically, for something this size and the fact that the land is the way it is out there, sloping down, it's probably not going to be as hospitable for any type of use like that. It would be something that would be like what you see down here southeast where you have the gated community, and putting in those type of rental or high-end like condominium uses.
I don't, to address that, I don't think the developer would have a concern if there was a restriction for any sort of commercial property. It's going to be residential. So if you wanted to do that, that would be fine. They're not looking to put a hospital or some other commercial use in there. They're strictly a housing developer.
Yeah. Am I correct that if a rezoning were approved by the council, then they would be required to replat this as it's shown, correct? Because right now you're showing...
It depends on if it's under different ownership.
Well, it's one big lot. How can you have one lot that's got two different...
It depends on how the ownership is dealt out, because if the duplexes are used, they may just take and parse out the footprint and use that as like a condoed out type concept, and then the other area is owned in common. Or you could take and make each of those have a common wall, split them down the middle, have a lot for each one of the units for duplexes. That would require that you go to the platting stage, and then you would have to separate those units out, those lots, from the R5 area. At that point, you would replat.
I understand your concern. The county does, the assessor's office does not like a lot with two separate zoning designations.
Yeah, I think that's a bad precedent. I mean, I think I think it has to be replatted into two separate, you know, the replat of lot two into two separate parcels. But that's just my opinion.
I'm sure it would be replatted. Because the lender will require it be replatted, I'm sure.
Yeah. Another question.
Oh, sorry. Yes, sir. Right.
Well, as far as the platting goes, when we did this 10 years ago, that 25-foot buffer zone and the 15 feet that was added onto my lot, lot two, was supposed to have been platted too, and it has never been platted. I was told by Steve Van Dyke with the city at the time that the city would make sure that that platting was taken care of, and it hasn't been done. So who does that? And if it actually happens, good luck, because 10 years later, that 25-foot buffer zone and the back of my property still isn't on the plat with the county.
So it's shown on the assessor's web page, Steve, with a separate parcel number.
It does there, but it still should have been planned.
Well, but the property was never platted.
Could we have even platted it as not being the owner? We can't plat property.
We can't plat somebody else's property.
No. Okay.
It's going to be replatted.
Yeah. From what Jeff's right, I mean, you can't. Oh, I'm now at 222 feet. I've changed zoning classifications. That won't work. So, yeah. All right. Anyone else with regard to this case? And for those standing, there are chairs in the front, and you're welcome to put some down back there too. So,
Frank, can you review for us again what the zoning classifications are for the land around this lot?
This is R3. This is C2 and C1, C5. This is PR Overlay District 3. That's R5, that's R3, this is R2, this is R1 here, A1 there, all A2 here, R5 here, R5 here, C5, A1, that's A1, and so is this.
Well, I think that pretty well establishes we're not spot zoning. The comment had come up, and I don't know, Steve, if you had made it, but it appears to me that there's plenty of other spots out there that would support this as not being any kind of spot zoning. Anyone else in regard to this case from the audience? Any other questions from the commission? And we are considering at this case the land use and rezoning. Okay, I would entertain a motion then if there's no comments.
Well, we have two cases, so I will make a motion on the land use amendment, case 16080, for approval as submitted with staff recommendations.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16080, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Case 16080 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the rezoning per the map that we saw tonight.
The revised
yes. Map. For case 16-081, subject to staff recommendations.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16081, subject to staff recommendations with the revised zoning parameters. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16081 passes. And again, for those folks with the input, we do appreciate it this evening. I think the key part and the focus for most of your comments will relate to the specifics of the site development plan, which would be forthcoming after approval by City Council of our recommendations. So it would be posted. And in the past, I know a beneficial approach, and I'm speaking to you, Kevin, has been visiting with the folks ahead of time to work on some of the issues and resolve them before they come to the table. And we've seen that work out in some pretty effective solutions that work for everybody. So I would encourage that as you proceed in the process. Okay. Next case, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this locale is right near Utica Ridge Road, and then you have Tanglefoot Lane coming into this location. This is essentially lots 1 and 2 of the third edition of the Interstate Technology Park, Interstate 74 Technology Park, and then lot number 3 of the second edition of the Interstate Technology, or I should say Interstate 74 Technology Park. We're going to have a site plan later on tonight to show where that boundary is, but you're going to have this eventually, this portion down here in that zoning classification of C3, it's C6 right now. This area here is C3. It had already been rezoned prior, so that will be a go. But the land uses in the area, again, you have a office research campus, which is transitioning to this status here, which would be commercial, and this is C3, this zoning. That's what the petitioner is asking for here, to deal with the circumstances regarding these lots and their size, and then the setbacks that also impact them, the way the ground will be divided up in order to maintain the necessary setbacks. Staff felt, again, there are plenty of uses similar to what you find in C3 in this jurisdiction. And with that said, staff supports the petitioner's request for the land use change as well as the rezoning for the parcel outlined here, which happens to constitute these three lots. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? None? Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Back to the commission.
I'll take the first one. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16086 at the land use amendment, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16086, subject to staff recommendations, the land use amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16086 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16087, the rezoning, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16087, subject to rezoning, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16087 is approved. Okay. Craig.
Mr. Chairman, we have a replatting of three different subdivisions, but they're related. The Glenn Gevelin edition, second, third, and fourth editions. What is changing on each of these plats is the table regarding entry level for stormwater. On each of these, they've been recalibrated so that there are the correct levels stated on each of these plats, and by doing so and having each of these levels designated, the structures can be restricted so that they do not, in the event of a 100-year storm, have water coming into their basements. And there are many different easements throughout these subdivisions that are drainage easements and lower-lying areas that have essentially required that we have these designations on certain lots within each of these subdivisions. This cleans up essentially what are the correct levels for each one of these lots where a structure might be built. And that's the only thing that's changing on any of these plats, nothing else. Unless there's some housekeeping that had to be done, where there might be some things, as I think we addressed in one of the reports, with the conditions listed in there. Other than that, there's nothing else that is changing on these plats. Staff would support the petitioner's request to make these necessary changes to these plats as amended. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Greg, were these just missing on the plats before? Or?
No, there were some figures that weren't accurate.
Okay. Why weren't they accurate?
I don't know the particulars behind it.
Okay.
I'm Mike Janosek with McClure Engineering. We're the engineer on this project. There was found to be a couple typos that were corrected. In addition, there were some design changes where the developer put in homes, and they did some regrading of ditches that would adjust those grades. So we addressed all that in one fell swoop, basically adjusting all three plats and adjusting the low water entry elevations on each one.
Did any of those changes or proposed changes impact existing construction?
There were a few existing buildings that when we went to survey it was right at those elevations. So then the developer went and regraded the ditches to make everything conform appropriately so we could certify that it met those requirements. So they basically regraded some ditches and some rear yards. In general, that's what happened. They just regraded a few ditches in the rear yards, and we were able to make it all work appropriately.
Okay, so we're good with that. Good. Don't want to put anybody in the floodway that wasn't there before. So, all right. Any other questions? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case or cases? Nope. Back to the commission.
So we need to look at three different case numbers, each needing approval. I'll move for approval of case number 12-056, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the amended final plat, case 12056. All those subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 12056 is approved.
And I'll also move for approval of case 14010 as submitted with staff, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a pattern going here. Good.
Yeah.
All right. We have a motion and a second to approve case 14010, amended final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 14010 is approved.
Okay, one more motion.
You're
case 14-076, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-076 amended plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14076 is approved. Okay. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next project is pretty much in the same area as some of the others we've already seen. This is the fountains, and we have a final plat as well as a site plan, the sixth edition for this area, as well as the site plan for another building to be placed approximately right in this area right here. This is the old fountains plat, and essentially we're looking at this area right about here for the construction of another structure. This was done about 13 years ago maybe. It's the final plat for the fountain second edition, and then this is part of the first. That lot is overlapping. This is the original site plan, showed a building up here, somewhat of an L-shaped building. This area was going to be landscaped at one time, but this building up here, the L-shaped structure, is not in the plans any longer for the Fountains Edition for Dial Corp. So what you're going to see essentially is this area right here become the new location of that structure. As you look, as you come in, here's the site, and the building will go in approximately this area right here. And it will parallel this building over here. It'll be a bridge that'll go through here. For that to happen, for that connectivity, this area here, this roadway will be closed off. And there'll be a means of entry to come in here, go around this area, and then go back down that drive this direction, and then go out. This is the new subdivision, as shown here with lots 1 and 2 of the replat, and joining that site together. This is the site plan right here. Again, this area being closed off to permit the connection of the buildings with this bridge. Excuse me. And you're going to have circulation of traffic coming through this direction. So essentially, this is the new route that people will have to take when driving through the complex. And there'll be parking over here. There'll be a detention area in this locale, which is really a slow release area so that the water can be purified. This is more of a magnification of the same thing that you just looked at. And essentially, this structure here is going to be 3 stories in height with a storage of parking underneath. That's why you saw these parking spaces that were listed out. That's intended to indicate that the parking will be underground, means of entry right through here. There may be another entry here. I'm not quite sure on that, but I think maybe the petitioner can better clarify. All the landscape requirements were met with the layout that they have shown here. This is an idea of what the new structure will look like, essentially. So you're going to have 4 stories, and then you'll have a means of connection for the bridge to the other structure. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Greg, can you go back to the blow up of the new building? That one's fine. So can you show the traffic route again on that?
It'll come in here down this drive, and then it'll come around the building where originally the traffic just simply came through here and then went that direction. Now you'll come through and go down that same direction. But you're going to go around, essentially, this building here because of this new bridge, this connection. Because this is not going to be elevated beyond, I believe, the first floor or ground floor, that bridge connection.
How wide is that new? We'll call it a road, even though it's part of the lot, but how?
I believe it is, I know it meets our fire department standards, so it's at least 27
feet. Yeah.
Okay, so allows for easily two-way traffic.
So this traffic, where you showed it coming in, Greg, that's coming from Hopewell?
Yeah, it would be. That would be the ultimate point of exit for the area.
Okay. Is the traffic coming from the other direction on the south side? Is that going to be impacted at all?
I don't think it would be, because it's simply the same entry, and the means, the only time there's a detour is when you get to this furthest north point.
So, Greg, I'm trying to understand how people are going to flow from the western, the western building that's not really showing up right now in this one. There's one building to the west. There we go, building C. So how do you, and I go to the fountains once a week, so this is important to me, or twice. I was there last night. How do you pick up your mother at building C now when she comes out that middle door?
You'll have to ask the petitioner, I believe, if he's here on how they've got that design.
Yes, my name is Rick Ackerman, Russell Construction. There's a connecting link between building C to the new building that when you go to visit the fountains, you'll walk through the new building, through the connecting link into the existing building. So you'll have a means of egress in and out of that current building through the new building.
And roughly what kind of distance is that, say, from the door of building C to the, and I don't see where the pickup point is out there. Where would you go pick up folks out of your proposed building D?
There's the entrance. There's the entrance on proposed building D on the right-hand side. There's a, you can see it just below that pink line there. So if you come down right there, yes. And there's a common space that goes through the building to the connecting length. The width of the bridge is approximately 60 feet wide.
60 feet wide, is it?
60 feet. And the reason for that is there's a public easement within that space between the two buildings.
Is this a bridge that's ground level, or is it elevated?
It's at ground floor, yes.
On the ground floor.
60 feet long, not 60
correct.
Feet wide.
60 feet long. It's 12 okay. foot wide.
Sorry. 12 foot wide. Okay, I'm thinking, whoa, we got to.
That's a big.
That's a big. Okay.
It's 12 foot wide to meet ADA requirements.
And I'm sorry, and I missed on that. So that's at grade?
Yes.
And parking, just an insight from being over there last night at about 8:30, half the existing parking lot was full with staff or whatever on the outside. I know there's underground parking, but many times I've been there and they have events where there's a lot of people that come, and now we've got even less parking. So if they do weddings, and there's no incremental parking as part of this plan?
Currently, the fountain says, as taking the policy of not allowing parties or weddings anymore within their facilities.
That's a new change. Okay.
I need to comment on some of
this. Let's let them finish. Hang on. Yep. Yep. So, okay. Any other questions from the commission?
Emergency services. Say somebody was having an event in building C and the ambulance came, they would pull up to that area in building D, walk through building D, walk over the bridge, walk into building C. Is that the only route for emergency services as well?
No, currently there's two routes in the building C. One from the south, one from the what they call the Grand Lodge, through a hall connecting link, and through that current main entrance in the building C. Now we're taking that current main entrance, putting a bridge to it, and having entrance for building D, where the current passageway through Grand Lodge will always be there.
So if an ambulance needed to pull up to building C, could they pull up to building C at some point to get somebody out?
Yes, sir.
Quicker than through this tunnel?
No, it's not. It's a bridge.
Not a tunnel, bridge. Okay. Yes.
Where?
Well, we have to understand the type of people are in building C. They're independent living people,
and they don't need, they're set up for not having a lot of care.
I understand. I still want to know, is there a spot that an emergency vehicle could pull up to Building C such that somebody who has an unexplained heart attack, say, has to get out of that building quickly or has to be brought out of that building quickly, can an emergency vehicle pull up to Building C?
I might be able to help you with that.
Okay.
You see the two notches close to the north on the east side of the building and south on the south side. Code requires that we have exits at those points.
Can you
so there'll be access and a stair tower. Can you circle those, Greg? You got them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is access at both those points.
And that's what those are. Those are the stair towers there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not for resident pickup, but it's for emergency access or exit.
But technically, it could be for either one.
Okay.
Okay. That's a residential road on the side over here. Yeah. Anyone else in the commission? Okay, now we'll take some comments from the audience. Yes, ma'am, thank you.
My name is Donna Metzger, and I don't live at the Fountains, but I am familiar with people who are classified as needing assisted living, and that can be a wide range. I guess my concern is, there's several times a day sometimes that trucks, fire trucks and ambulances are going into that facility and having to walk from some building through all kinds of hallways and tunnels. It doesn't seem like that's a very expedient way to get people tended to. And I don't mean just picking up your mother. I mean if somebody really needs something or if the building catches on fire, should be able to get to it. So that was my first reaction there. The second one is thinking about events and parking. This past Sunday, there was a thing called a hoedown. We had been out of town and we came around the corner and there was all kinds of congestion with parking. I don't think an emergency vehicle could have made it through there. We had a difficult time. There's also barricades right now with, repairs to sidewalks and things taking place and trying to get around that in addition to the additional traffic. I don't know, when you say there's no more events, they're not going to have any more hoedowns or whatever else they want to do for the residents. I don't know. I think that there is, to me, I keep hearing all this conversation about this area, and there's a lot of density there, and it's good that you're agreeable, but I'd like to hear a few more comments on the negative side from you guys to just make me feel that you're more based in reality.
So questions that so that we're who's based in reality, us?
Well, there's all this density there, and it's like, okay, yeah, well, we'll go through some tunnel that's 12 by 60, or we're not going to have events, and there's not parking problems. There already are parking problems.
Yeah, and that's what I was referencing when I was there last night. I just want to see, number one, does the plan meet the code for the required number of spaces? So, and apparently Bill's nodding it does. So one of the things that's a constraint for us is if the plan as presented provides enough parking spaces as required by the code, we can't really reject it for not having enough parking places.
The question is the code for residents of that facility only, and does it take into account other events that might happen, and how long ago was the code written, and does it need to be revisited if there's a lot of expansion going on? I mean, just because something was done 10 or 20 years ago, does that mean it's still adequate?
Bill?
Places like schools, gymnasiums, those types of places that have events from time to time associated with schools similar to this. Our code does not require everybody to design to the absolute worst case scenario. So we try to hit the happy medium, to hit 95% of the time when the parking is going to meet the requirement. We don't, if you wanted to have the Republican National Convention here, we wouldn't require somebody to build to take into account all the people that would come in for that. So the code tries to hit that happy medium, ma'am.
And I agree with that philosophy, but again, I would question how old is the code?
Code is probably last time it was done, early 70s, Greg, with many changes.
Yes, and then...
And to the announcement to everybody, we are mere months away from completely readopting a new zoning ordinance, which will be part of this code, ma'am. We've been working on that for some time.
I can just tell you from the 70s to 2016, there's significant, I mean, the streets weren't even there, let alone the development that's happening.
Anything
so
can change.
I think saying it meets code is kind of just giving us a big blow off there.
And Don, I didn't catch, where were you, do you live in relation to that? I missed that part.
I live in Cavan Crossing, so I have interest in all of these subjects that we're discussing.
Okay.
And especially when I keep hearing all this density and whether it's a parking issue or water flow, those are definite concerns. And, I mean, a lot of us here have comments that are, you know, not on the positive side. I mean, people don't show up if they're happy, usually. I mean, I understand that. But,
positive complaint is an oxymoron, so I get you. Yeah, but we really do value the input, and that's why we ask people to come and give us the input. And recognize, too, that sometimes there are situations like the parking and the code that even if from a practical standpoint it doesn't look perfect today, it's the code that's in place and the regulation that we have to deal with at the time. So we don't have the ability to modify the code. As Bill noted, it is in redevelopment. We've been working on a new comprehensive plan for quite some time, and it's a monumental job, but that's in process, and it doesn't fix anything today, and I don't know that the parking requirement will even be necessarily different, but it is being updated and redeveloped. But if it's within the current code, that's what we have to use as our guideline. So, but we do appreciate the input.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Dick Whistler. I live at the Fountains. Her talks about the big party we had last weekend are not founded because we could have gotten any ambulances through there. My problem is that by closing off this door, one road, we are actually going to have a good time because we're going to stop people coming through real fast because they do come through that real fast. The two doors he's talked about on both ends of the building are keyed doors. So guests can't get in unless they have a key. That gives a problem there. If they go through the building that's going to propose there, we're going to have keys for that, getting through the other door into my building, which is a 53 building. It's going to cause a lot of problems with help and fire trucks and so forth. That's my biggest concern is the access for the fire people and the ambulances, which we have quite a few of them there.
You do.
And remember, most of the people, not most of the people, but quite a few of the people are using canes or wheelchairs. These other two entrances are stepped outside into the building. That's what my concern is.
Yep. Appreciate the comment, Dick. And I know the distance is a challenge for a number of the folks in there. That extra 120 feet can be a long way when you're not able to walk very well. So there are some challenges, but again, I don't see a practical way to address that with what we've got from the code. It's that becomes a marketing and value issue for the developer or the operator to say, well, if you live in building C, you've got a little longer walk to get to the front door kind of deal. And so others in the audience with regard to this. Yes, sir.
My name is Grant Lemon. I live in a villa at the Fountains. Just to expand on the hoedown, They did have parking up at Hopewell School, and they shuttled people from Hopewell down. But naturally, like everybody else, a lot of people parked on the street, so it was kind of congested. But it's a great event, and I hope they don't discontinue it. My only question was, when you were talking about the building, on the web, it called it a four-story building, and it shows three stories of apartments and like one story of parking. Originally, when this land was plotted, wasn't there a height regulation in there?
Apparently not. No.
I don't recall. No.
Well, my son and daughter-in-law lived across the street, and I know they opposed the height on the buildings. And this is four stories, and all the other buildings there are three.
Okay, and I don't see that we've got any reference to a height restriction.
When you're talking story, the building C, which is the existing building on
the west side
there, is you've got one side that's has a little bit of an opening to it. It's all relative to where the grade is around it. So if more than 50% of the foundation is more than 50% below grade, then it's a basement. If it's more than 50% of the foundation is more than 50% above grade, it's a story. So that's how we make the determination.
So does this building have four stories of living units and then parking below that?
Looks like three.
And so there's three levels of residences.
Residences. So okay. It's the same height as the other buildings.
Right.
It's just how it is relative to grade.
Okay. So the parking for the new building is above grade or partially above grade?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no opposition to it. I just wanted to make sure the height requirement was in there.
If in fact there is one, right. But I'm looking at the elevations that are proposed, and you're looking at the same thing. It looks like there's four floors of living spaces,
right?
Plus a garage.
Oh, that's what it looks like. Unless
so, back to the developer for clarification. Is it four or the builder?
Maybe it's below grade. This looks like an.
Well, there's four floors and parking above.
Well, if it goes down, I don't know.
The building as proposed meets all the height restrictions and the code compliance within the city of Bettendorf.
Are there four stories?
There's four stories of living and one underground parking area.
Okay.
And it meets all the code requirements for the building height.
While you're up there, can you help us understand the reason for the bridge?
What's that?
What is the reason for the bridge? Why is that attractive?
Because between the two buildings, there is a 30-foot easement for storm sewer, and there is a 12-foot easement for water that cannot be have any structure over it on the ground level. So we have to span it. And that's the reason for the bridge. And the storm sewer is a public, and those are public spaces that's owned by the public. They're easements.
They couldn't put it on grade if we had to get in there and do any work, so they elevated it so we could have access underneath in case we had to excavate and repair any storm sewer, things like that.
So the bridge is elevated?
So it is a bridge.
It is.
Can you, but it's not.
It was my understanding it came in at second level. Is that correct?
No, it's at the first level, and the grade that's currently will be cut down approximately 2.5 feet. They have an interstitial space below the bridge and the grass, and that center area will now be a grass area where the residents can go out and enjoy and congregate in that area. But because of the utility easement, it can't have a structure on it.
So how high will the bridge base be above the grade?
2.5 feet. Oh, about 2.5 feet.
because the grade's going to be dropped from where it is currently.
And it's a bridge. It's not covered at all.
Yes, it's an enclosed bridge.
It's a tunnel.
Heated with lights.
It's an above ground tunnel.
And everything.
It's an enclosed bridge.
So it's like a skywalk.
Okay. We're going for clarity here. Sorry, this is trying to get to clarity here. So does, Bill, I'm looking at you, Brian, too, that so does 2.5 feet above grade make it accessible? I mean, that doesn't seem like you're really accessible to a sewer easement at 2.5 feet.
No, and I guess we were under the understanding that it was at the second level as well.
That was my understanding.
And I don't know that there's any grade shown on here for the elevation of that bridge. So
from what I reviewed, I thought it was at the second story level as well, yeah, based on the documents.
Which would give us the ability to probably do the work that we need to do there. There is a sanitary sewer, it looks like, that runs through there. As well as storm.
Because there's no road anymore. There's no way to get between the buildings.
You should just keep the road there. Have to set up buildings.
This bridge, yeah.
That's the second bridge in the city of Elkhorn.
Bridge.
The bridge pass. We need a bridge pass.
So, from a city staff perspective,
if this sky bridge or whatever it's called is at grade level, we've got an issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So then,
you do have the ability to go in there and take the sort. The repair of the storm sewer and the water main as proposed.
There's also sanitary sewer in there.
Or the sanitary sewer.
Yeah, and that's going to be deeper than
typical. You have the complete ability to do that.
The sanitary would be deeper than a typical storm sewer. You're at least 8 feet.
There's about 9 feet from the current grade, because the grade slopes, there's about 8 foot of cover there. And you do have the ability to go in and remove that. If you have to.
Are you saying remove the bridge?
The bridge is 12 feet wide.
If you have to get in to repair the sanitary sewer, you have the ability to do that as designed. Those considerations have been made.
Who determined that 2.5 feet was adequate to get in?
Well, the bridge is 12 foot wide, so you can go in there and dig it out and get down. You can go down in there.
I'm not following how if this is grade and you've got a bridge above grade 2.5 feet and it's 12 feet wide and you got to get into the middle of underneath that bridge, how is 2.5 feet of elevation going to enable you to get in there?
Well, if you have to take the sewer, sanitary sewer out, you're probably going to have to take out for most of the run to get in there. You're not going to go down in a single point. Because you're going to have to take out a section of it.
So you want me to pull it out from the other end?
No, you're going to have to go down the middle and pull a section out. Because that sanitary section is maybe a 10-foot pipe run. Mm-hmm.
I guess from my perspective, I'm going to say that my review of this, my consideration of this, is based on recommendations from the staff. It's clear to me that the recommendation they made was based on a different concept than what is actually proposed.
That was our understanding, yes.
Yeah. So from my perspective, this is going to need more discussion and review by staff before we can consider it. So I would look at what is the best step for us to take. And I think that would be for us to table it.
Table or defer.
Or defer, so that we're not voting against it and some of these issues can be resolved and then we can discuss it.
Yeah.
Next month.
I would agree. Staff?
Yep, that seems reasonable.
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay. So do we have a choice here to communicate or what to interpret what I think just happened? We as a commission don't feel that we're in a position to approve what's been submitted because it's not being supported by staff, because staff's perception is that the bridge was at a higher elevation and it's not acceptable at 2.5 feet. So
that's correct.
The alternative would be to defer it tonight or to request a vote, in which case I can predict what the outcome would be. So.
And if we vote and deny it, it can still go to City Council, but it requires a larger majority for approval.
You know, there was discussion here about the distance of travel between one building to another. If you put the bridge on the second floor, it's going to severely impact the residents and have for their ability to get between the two places. It's also going to impact the access for fire department to come through the building and access the other way, because now you're going to have to go in one building, go up an elevator, across, and back down. That is not an, that really doesn't work for senior citizens.
I think it's just something that needs to be worked out with staff.
You're still going to have a grade level door there.
We have a grade level door.
Yeah, so whether there's a bridge there or not, people can access from one building to the other. If it's raining, they may get wet.
And
bridge is the connecting link for the convenience of the residents.
Right, but then also fire would be able to come through at the top and the bottom,
at grade
north
level.
And south. Yeah. So,
of the C building.
Yeah. So, I think you guys just need to talk.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
Well, I think we, I think we.
How do we do that? What are we supposed to do?
Well, I guess I would ask for guidance from the petitioner at this point. Do you want us to vote on it, or would you like to defer it?
We can defer it, because when the initial concept was brought in early on in August for planning and zoning, it was passed as presented. And there was no comments at that point. So we haven't changed the design. We haven't changed the layout. It was all submitted at that point.
What you're referring to is the staff approved it at that point, right?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
We approved it based on a second story bridge. That's what we were told. If you can show me where a bridge elevation is on this plan, I mean, I don't see anything that shows differently than what we were told at staff level.
I'll have to find the documents that were submitted, and there was an elevation, there was an elevation of the building, there was a site plan.
Not elevation of the building, I'm talking about elevation of the bridge and where that bridge ties into the building.
Well, there was, nothing has changed from the first submittal.
We have a utility easement there, and we didn't know if we have access to it or not. And I don't think, under the current proposal that you're talking about, that we would be able to do that.
Well,
we need to be able to we need to be able to fix, repair, maintain our city sewers.
That's a private. That is
a public. That is an easement.
That's correct.
And we are responsible for maintaining that sanitary sewer.
From an engineering standpoint and a construction standpoint, you can do that as planned.
Well, maybe we can come up with, if we have discussion, we can come up with some sort of an agreement that works for all parties.
And we appreciate that, because that happens many times, and there's typically always a positive outcome. So that's a good next step, I feel. So, Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion for deferral, if that's where you'd like to go.
Okay, well, I don't see an alternative at that point. And then I'll have discussion on the motion. And, sir, I know you had come up to make a comment in the reddish shirt, so I don't want to miss your opportunity for input as well before we make a vote. So please go ahead and make your comment, if you would.
My name is Jack, or John Johnson. I live on Cabin Crossing. We used to live on Hopewell, the brick home that's been there for 50 years. And we lived there 40-some years. And this whole area, I just want to make a comment. This whole thing tonight all has to do with the problem of runoff. Starts up there, everything here, every subdivision you're talked about. is runoff and sewer. Now, I don't know, somebody's around here when that property across Devil's Glen was proposed. There was an attorney named Ned Weir, and he dug into this thing and found out at that time the sewer wasn't big enough. Now, is the storm sewers and sanitary sewers big enough for all these things you're talking about, all these vulnerable dwellings? It's all going down to that sewer down there, main sewer line. And this is what they found out back years ago. I can remember going to the public hearing, and it stopped the whole thing, and that's what brought forth the sewer line down through the creek bed there back then. But I just wanted to make the comment that this proposal here during construction is going to be a big problem for us below it. I'm not against them building there at all. It's a nice facility. I got a brother that's in there as a resident. But you just got to keep in mind all this is connected together. And I just wanted to make that comment. And I go back 40, 50 years in that on Hopewell from now. And we used to snowmobile and hunt that property. And it sure has changed. They moved a lot of dirt out that shouldn't have been moved out. But that's just my personal opinion. But I just want to throw that out. If you there's a common denominator, you know, when you're all the stuff that you've been doing, that is runoff. This is runoff. All goes to the same spot, down to that creek. So that's about all I got to say. It's just the things that bothered me since I've been here in that area for so long.
All right. Appreciate your comments. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a motion. We've had discussion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to defer case 16072 for the purpose of confirming where the bridge is and the issues relative to the easement. Yes, yeah. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes and is deferred.
Okay. We have two different cases?
Do I have to do it for both, Bill, or just one?
I'm sorry.
For a deferral, because there were two. We had a final plat and...
Site development plan. So we need to defer both or just the final plat?
No, you defer both of them, please.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll move we defer case 16-073 for the same reasons.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to defer case 16-03 on the same basis for 16-072. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 16-03 is deferred. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the proposal from Bettendorf Fire Department is for a replatting that will eventually bring this area into a new subdivision here, and also for a site plan, and it's to accommodate a structure to be built on, another bay to be built onto the fire station. This is the original area here in the Borneman's addition. There'll be a piece of this block over here being added to this site to accommodate more construction. To build an addition onto the fire station, the street will be sealed, and a portion of this area here then will be part of the new platted area. This is where the street originally came through, and then a lot has been added to, or I should say this entire area has been subdivided. City Hall first edition, and there are the access, or I should say the easements that are necessary for utility passage have been maintained here. And then the area adjoining, which used to contain the gas station, is now part of this parcel. The site plan shows the addition, the building addition right here. Means of entry here and parking. and a connection here as well to the existing site. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval of the final plat as well as the site plan. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Anne.
I'm feeling quite proud of myself that I found my way here tonight.
Make that two of us. But I took the scenic route.
Oh, you did? No.
Yeah. I did a couple loops.
Can you go back a couple of slides? And I see the, well, anyone, and now go back, go forward again. One more. There. I see the building access, but can you show us with the new street configurations how the traffic will flow when everything is in its final phase?
That's basically the entry that you're coming in. This is going to be blocked here. This is, I believe, a sidewalk right here. And means of access to come down this direction. There will be no more passage under the I-74 bridge. So essentially, where is Grant Street
in relation to this? Can you show me Grant Street?
That's further north. That's way north up here. This right here is State.
Oh, State will be over there. So that's just that little road that we went in on.
Can you draw it on here, Greg?
This is where you're getting the connection right here from State, and then Grant, of course, is
okay
further up here, but the new connection State comes around like this.
So it does,
and then you have this connection to 16th, and you have this little area in between the two that has very minimal stacking, and I don't think anybody's going to feel empowered to want to come out here and probably park there because there's about one space, it seems like. I mean, or at least remain there. But yeah, the configuration has changed a great deal, and this is the means of entry now to City Hall.
Okay. So we have three or four bays in the fire department. We will with this addition. And how will they access the main thoroughfare? Is it a straight shot?
Be pretty much up 16th, yeah.
Okay.
16th Street right here.
The intent, I think, is still to have a traffic signal to stop traffic.
Mm-hmm. Just maybe in a little different location. Okay. All right. I just wasn't conceptualizing it. I understand. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve case number 16077, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a tie in the second here. Lisa, how'd you call that one? So we have a motion and a second to approve case 16077, City Hall first edition final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16077 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we would approve case number 16078, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16078, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16078 is approved.
It's owned by the association.
Greg.
Mr. Chairman, we have a replat of Crown Point 6th edition, which is Outlot D of Crown Point 6th edition and Outlot A of Crown Point 5th edition. You're looking at this whole area here that's been platted many different ways to accommodate the townhouses. This is the 6th edition, I believe, and it shows Outlot D, which is going to be replatted to accommodate essentially garages, and this portion here, which I believe may be conveyed at some point, that is Outlot A of the 5th edition, and it runs along that length right there. This is the final plat showing the outlot C that is going to emerge, and then a combination, I believe, of outlot B and A here, accommodating those other garages. In reviewing this, there was no other boundary change per se. These are the only lots that are impacted. There is nothing in the way of any living or dwelling units that are a part of this plat. But staff, in reviewing the proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? So what was the original intent for outlot B? Just hold the earth together, or?
You mean this one right here?
Well, what, yeah.
I don't know why they subdivided them the way they did. It was a green space area of some sort.
And would it be multiple buildings on there, garages, or just a garage?
I believe so. No, it would be, I think there would be multiple garages.
Okay. The intent I got from the property owner, I believe, who's going to, go ahead, Gary, give this to the homeowners association, is they have a lack of storage.
Mm-hmm. It's not all designed for garages. The association approached me, and we have the irrigation main on that outlet. There's actually two outlets there. One was a narrow strip. That outlet A is that narrow strip, and it's just kind of a small piece, 20 feet wide, ran that whole distance, and just was left there from an old farm access. The other outlet is just part of green space between on that whole side, and that is just part of the side of the street there. We kept that portion in our possession because we intended at one time to develop the property to the east, the Bell's property. Dr. Bell at this point is asking a little too much for that per acre, so I don't think we'll ever come to an agreement there. The association approached me and would like to have possession of a portion of the property that has the irrigation main on it. I said I would sell that to them for a dollar if they would replat that accordingly. We would still retain that portion so that if we do ever acquire that property, we would have access to that. And then I was approached by a few of the neighbors, and we had been approached while we were developing the property for garages. A lot of those units only have two-car garages. They are fourplexes, and they were designed to accommodate all of that. While we were developing each phase there, we had a few people, because as things changed, everybody's looking for a third stall. So we developed the outlot, I think it's B there, just that we could put four storage garages 28 feet deep, so that would be in the addition if somebody wanted to have a third stall close by, it would be available. If we develop that as garages, then that would be have to go through platting or planning and everything at that time. So our intent is basically to turn over the irrigation portion to the homeowners association. If we develop the garages, we would then turn that over to the association with the understanding that we're building these garages once that is all done.
Okay.
So the other portion, which is outlot C, will retain with the agreement that the association will take care of the mowing and any other things that happen on that until that is either used or sold. It may just sit there forever. If somebody needs access or that property sells to another developer and they need access, then I would have, they would have that ability to gain access there.
Is that enough width or depth there to have access adjacent to Crown Point Circle Road?
Well, there's 15 and a half acres to the east there, and you would just need a 50 or 60 foot width street. I mean, it's not the width, it's just would be a road going in there. We intended to purchase that. There's about 15 point some acres, but a lot of it's not developable land. It's just the creek, and so it's just too expensive for residential at this point.
Okay, good explanation. Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Anyone else in regard to this case in the audience? Nope, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16079, Crown Point 11 edition, subject to staff recommendations. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16079, final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16079 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case is dealing with a proposed chiropractor's office at this location. You have Maple Crest Road right here. You have Tech Drive here. This is Victoria Street right there. This is what the site looks like if you were looking from the northwest corner of the site, and this whole area in here is essentially the lot. You're looking from the front boundary, would basically come down this direction and then go back up. It's lot six here of the Cumberland Central Park second edition. It's 48,000 square feet, and there is an overhead utility easement here. You do have a utility easement out front with a setback of 25 feet. This is the proposal as shown in a non-magnified form. This is what it looks like with two entries coming in, a detention basin here. You do have 3,745 square feet of office located here. You'll have a buffer area back here where we have a requirement of eight trees. You'll have six trees that will be required as part of landscaping here. And then for the basically the vehicular use area, you're going to require two trees. This will give you an idea what the structure will look like from the front. And then this is a layout of the offices that are inside. We did do the parking total check, and it does work in terms of the number of spaces per our ordinance. They did meet the requirements. And staff, in reviewing this proposal, would ask for approval of this particular submittal with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? None? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. She beat you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Dr. Tara Pratt, and we are building this, putting this building up, and we have a question about the trees. How many trees are we going to have? So I just heard 14, and I thought I had confirmed that it was supposed to be eight.
There are eight trees because this is a buffer area.
Okay.
Joining this residential over here, you'll need eight trees here because this is a vehicular use area. The total was two, and this is a street frontage area under our landscape ordinance that would require that there be six trees.
So six trees on the, I'm confused about how the trees on the front of the parking lot there will completely block the view of the office as they get bigger.
Yeah, I don't see how they're.
You can put the trees at different locales as long as the overall count is being met.
So we need six. So we need 16 trees.
16 was what I came up with, yeah. And that's code? That's code.
Mm-hmm.
And do all, I can see from the photos that you gave us, the adjacent building has trees out by the street, and that continues down Victoria. I'm asking you, Greg.
I mean, whatever the tree requirements were, and you can see that there's some that were planted in back.
Right. So it's a total of 16. It's up to the property owner to decide where they put them?
our ordinance reads that if you cannot place them within the required yard areas, all of them, or because maybe utilities or something of that nature, that you can space them throughout the entire site.
Okay. So according to the code, 16 trees are needed for that property.
And I understand why 8 would be required as a buffer and back, but can you just kind of explain why the code requires trees in front, or why the tree requirement is there?
It's a streetscape area. Typically, that's for every site plan that comes to us, that requirement is there on every one of them. And then for the vehicular use area, that is another area that requires that there be trees placed within, like an island area maybe, or bordering where the parking and the drives are, and any loading areas.
If I can shed some light on this, sure. Apparently there was a neighborhood meeting. I was unable to attend. Greg and I both had prior commitments. But in talking to the property developer and the engineer who called the meeting, they met with the neighbors in the back, and they were worried about the trees being put back there because two of them had swimming pools. And they were unhappy about
leaves.
That was the thing that the neighbors were unhappy about. Usually they want the berms.
They
and
want the trees
and
the trees.
In
the
this case,
the pool.
They were unhappy with the trees. So,
okay.
If it's okay, we'll work with the developer and the property owners and make sure that everybody gets happy and whole a lot of this, if that's all right with you.
That sounds like a great plan.
Mm-hmm.
You're still looking pensive back there, but
what's that?
I said you're still looking kind of pensive back there. You're
I'm just trying to figure out where we're going to put 16 trees on an acre lot.
Do they have
to
be
by the time
height?
The building and the parking lot's up, there's not going to be much green space.
So I mean, can they be the smaller trees, right?
I was told 3-inch trees, like 3-inch diameter trees. That so as those grow, that and the cost, like I really didn't plan on $20,000 worth of trees. And an area where I honestly was going to put nothing. Maybe a few bushes and a couple of hostas, like just for upkeep purposes. But I'm thinking of in the front there of the parking lot where they want the 6 trees in the front. I'm thinking about I treat a lot of elderly people. And so granted, they will probably have to park closer to the entrance of the office, but leaves get slick on concrete surfaces. I worry about bird poop on everybody's cars, or you know, we get a high winds or whatever, you know, trees falling down on the building, because they're going to have to be fairly close to the building just because of there's not much green space left over. So that's my concern.
Well, we'll have to meet the code and we'll work together to do that. So
we'll make sure that Wasadon is in concert with the rest of the developments around it. Yes.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name's Steve Breathauer, and I live in the buffer zone, soon to be Victoria's Forest. A lot of trees. I don't see the need for them. I'm also in agreement with, I don't want 8 trees along the back there. Maintenance issues, some that were listed already. The property to the left in the building there is a dentist office. We have spoken to Dr. Chip Irwin, Dr. Benoit. Neither one are able to be here tonight. They're both out of town on, they had deaths in the family, so they said we could speak for them. Dr. Chip had to, he was required by the city to put a fence up along the property line. The neighbor next to us already had that fence, but he was required to put a fence up. We would rather have a privacy fence other than trees for the issues listed. He was not quite sure why he was made by the city to put a fence up where this business will not have to. We did some checking. If you did put a fence up, it's a lot less than the trees. For a length of 185 feet, we were quoted $4,850 for the total fence line. Also, the gentleman from this company was a bit confused himself why a fence was not required in this area. He said the majority of his business is putting up fences between businesses and residential, and he was extremely baffled why that was not the case here. The other thing is, I think you've discussed all the other things as far as working with the neighbors and such, and we appreciate that, but I just wanted to bring those things to your attention as to how we are concerned in our neighborhood there.
Thanks for the input, Steve.
Yes?
No, I said thanks for the input,
yes,
Steve.
Yep. Cool.
Any insight on the fence versus no fence?
I can't recall if when the dentist's office went in, we had a neighborhood meeting with the adjoining property owners. A lot of times that will be some sort of a happy medium that's met before it comes to Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council.
There's no code requirement for a fence between the uses
here.
There is not. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Usually I'm loud enough to project, but can you tell me what the purpose of the fence would be besides just being a barrier? I mean, it would be something, is it going to be like a privacy fence that you can't see through, or a chain link fence, or
privacy.
I mean, is that going to have to go around the entire property of the fence, or just a fence across the back?
Just a fence across the back, like what they did one yard down.
I didn't see that.
I don't think we have an option. Well, like Bill said, typically those are for screening, would be. But in this case, there's no requirement for a fence, and I don't think we can negotiate what's available. That's the code is what the code is, and I think we have to work with what that parameter is and develop the best solution relative to the code. So,
why was he required to put a fence?
You can place a fence on the property line to reduce the yard. But it has to be opaque, and the yard gets reduced for the buffer area depending upon how opaque the fence is, how much it blots everything out. It's within the landscape ordinance. It can be made of different materials, but you probably want to make sure it's durable.
Yeah, but my recollection is the dentist's office has plenty of buffer yard. Maybe he just wanted to put a fence up.
Yeah, it's his option. I mean, nobody requires anybody to put the fence up. It's an option.
And I got to think that's been there 10 or 15 years. It's
quite a while.
It's hard to say now what happened then. Yes, ma'am.
I talked to Dr. Chip. My name is Susan Breathauer, and I live directly behind there. And I talked to Dr. Chip today, and he said it was required by the city. That is what he told me. And also, I would like to make a comment about the trees again. If they are required to put 8 between the two properties, there are wires there. There are already 2 huge trees further down, and they're half of a tree right now. I'm surprised they're still standing because the city has to cut half of them apart so that they do not touch the wires. So my concern is pretty soon, am I going to see half trees because of the wires? And that's all I have to say. I'm not looking forward to 8 trees right along my property line. Thank you.
Thanks for the input. I got to tell you, just as noted earlier, this is the first time we've had people objecting to trees. Usually it's put more of them on there. So, and it does look like there's a fair amount of yard in there to keep it both away from the structure and the power lines. I know there's some slope in there, but again, I think that's something that needs to be worked on with staff on meeting the code and where they place the trees. Anyone else with regard to this case? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we approve case number 16084, subject to staff recommendations, with the understanding that the staff is going to work with the concerned residents regarding these issues.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16084, subject to staff recommendations and the stated understanding of working for a mutual code compliant resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16084 is approved. Greg.
The last one, Mr. Chairman, this case involves this area right here for site plan. We saw the rezoning already, and this area is currently zoned C3, so it's accommodating the structures that are already there. What is on site here, you see 40th Street. You'll see that there will be a structure placed here that is pretty much identical to the two existing structures. This is the fourth edition structure is going to be on a portion of both of these lots here, lots 1 and 2, Interstate 74 Technology Park, fourth edition. This is the structure right here as proposed, entry coming in off 40th Street. These are future structures here, and those are waiting for the rezoning that you looked at tonight in order for them to be built. Give the parking necessary for this structure right here, here as I mark these areas. Stormwater detention will be handled by this existing basin. You've already got a building here that's using that as well. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
What kind of use is this, Greg, then?
It's going to be, I believe, contractor condos again.
So trash was where? How do we handle the trash in this?
I don't know if the developer can elaborate on where the dumpster might be placed. It's not shown on there. I think we would put it at the behind the proposed building, so it'd be on the south side at the southwest corner and be screened in there.
Screened, yeah. There. Okay.
Keep it out of it, you know, out of sight from the street.
Good answer. Okay. Questions from the commission?
Greg, these are the buildings that we've been discussing tonight. Can you show us on the same slide the existing building? Can you just color it?
These two here,
right,
are the existing ones that are right there, and I believe that there's another one over in this direction as well, and okay, then that this is where the location is of the proposed structure.
Well, if you can go back to that slide we were on, I know we had a discussion before about trucks accessing that loading dock,
mm-hmm,
and so that's why I wanted to see, I think I see the existing building on here, but how does all that work together? Yeah. I would never try to back up a big truck, but if I did,
I believe this is the loading area,
right?
Right here. And
yeah,
I think that the turning radii, this is wide enough here that one could probably back a truck up in that direction, but I'll let,
actually the truck will pull in from 40th, come in, turn around building two, and then back
in there.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case?
Sorry?
I said anyone in the audience with regard to this case?
I don't have.
Are you just waiting for the pizza?
I don't have any water issues, and I don't plant any trees you want or don't want.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16089, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16079, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 16079 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say before Kevin leaves, But it's really nice to see that development out there. It looks really nice. It fits in with the neighborhood well, and it's on a roll now, and it's nice to see the whole thing playing out. It's a nice addition to that area.
Thanks. We're going to get the landscaping started here and get it in before snow flies, so it'll make it look a lot nicer. But we've had good interest in it, so I think it was by market demand that it was needed space, and we're attracting some good jobs for Bettendorf from outside the area, so that's good too.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Greg?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Bill. Greg's taking a rest.
Downtown master plan and streetscape plan was presented to this commission at the April 2016 meeting. We've incorporated your comments, suggestions into the plan where possible. We've also taken those of the city council and incorporated those where possible. This is intended to be a final document to be adopted as an overlay district incorporated for the area study. It's going to replace the downtown riverfront corridor overlay district, or Dr. Todd district. So basically the plan defines the area generally as 6th Street to 42nd Street, Mississippi River to north of Central Avenue. We had a real nice 45-minute presentation planned. I've got Jeff Ryder, Jeff and I worked with this, Stacy Brockett with Shive Hattery. This is RDG. This is the plan. We put a link in there for you. If you'd like us to go through this again, there really has not been any significant changes, Mr. Chairman.
Wow, I feel such power here. I
think you got a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah, I know. Everybody wants to go home and eat. And Lisa was supposed to have the pizza here
half an hour ago.
31 minutes ago. But just in all seriousness, I think, again, for the record, staff and the consultants have done a great job putting together a very difficult piece of work, and a lot of thought and effort going into that. And we do appreciate all that effort. And I think it's going to help drive towards a better result for Bettendorf overall, and I'm excited to see how we take it from here. So I would entertain a motion and say thank you again for that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to abstain from voting on this.
Okay. So we need a motion to recommend the adoption of the 2016 Downtown Master Plan.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion
that we approve
case
The adoption of the 2016 Downtown Master Plan Update and Streetscape Plan.
And yes. I'll second the motion.
Okay to help? I think I can help. Yeah.
Yes. Wait.
We have a motion and a second. We're out of control here. We have a motion and a second to approve case 16-088, which is the recommendation of the adoption of the 2016 Downtown Master Plan Update and Streetscape Plan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. It is so recommended. Did we have an update too, Bill?
Subsequent to the last meeting, you might recall Dale Grunwald was here and presented the project to you. You had some good suggestions. Greg and I did meet with him, was it the following week after the meeting, Greg, I think, and
<Greg's backing>
not a lot of traction was gained and not much headway. Haven't heard back from him. So.
And we took a look at some alternative sketches, which didn't make a big change in what we had discussed. They addressed a couple of the items, but still willing to look at more if it comes. So,
He did bring the property owners in with him, and they're going to huddle and see what they think they might want to do.
Okay.
So, subsequent to the last meeting, City Council did approve the preliminary plat of the Bettendorf Industrial Park Second Edition. Both the preliminary and final plat of the Sunset West editions, settlement at Pigeon Creek 8th edition amended, the Everest Summit 2nd edition replat, Spencer Hollow 2nd edition replat, and the site development plan for eastbound area rest area mile marker 300 tower for the state of Iowa, and site development plan at 3255 Fields Drive.
Quite a bit going on there. Great. Thanks for the update. Nothing else for the good of the order, I would say we're adjourned.